Today, we'll talk about what to expect at Disney World in 2019 and beyond. That's coming up on this episode 200 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 200. Feels like we should be celebrating this because it seems like a big milestone, but instead we will just use it to kick off 2019. Super excited about this year. Lots of exciting things to come. And in this episode, we are going to talk all about it. Before we dive into that, I wanted to, as always, remind you to follow on social media. In particular, Instagram is the most fun and where I post during my trips. The next trip is January 16th. So if you follow on Instagram, then you will be able to follow along in real time with the trips there, in addition to hearing the updates on the podcast. As usual, I will have a quick tip at the end before we wrap it up, but I am excited to talk about the things coming in 2019. Now, I'm going to talk about the things coming to Disney World in 2019 with two members of my agency team, and that is Josh and Sarah. They are two fantastic agents. Some of you, if you've booked with the agency, may have had them as your agent. And they are just here to help me talk through the things that are coming because there's a lot to look forward to. And we'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to talk about beyond Disney World and just business related things that are coming. We have been working, we meaning Heather and I, I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, but for 4 years, she was my part-time assistant. She started to off doing things like helping me with email and some social media things. And her role evolved so much over time that now she is the full-time editor. So she and I have been working very hard behind the scenes on the website to make the content better, to restructure it in a way that makes it easier to find. We recently launched I have called them monthly dashboards in the past, but I'm kind of calling them monthly crowd calendars now. And they are calendars for every month of the year, which lists the park hours and refurbishments and which parks we recommend for every day. That content has always been there, but now it's a lot more functional and it actually has toggles that you can use to turn things on and off. So if you want to see the restaurants that are closed or the attractions that are closed, or if you are not going to a water park, so you don't need to see the information for the water parks, you can turn that off. And it's all listed there in a very clean interface with big, pretty images at the top. And we recently launched that, so that's very exciting. But our next step is redoing the whole website. So part of this restructuring of the content has been that we're going to put a new design in place and make that content even easier to find. So more to come on that. That's been very exciting. We will be adding new content as well. We will be expanding beyond Disney World, and there will be information on Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line. There's a Cruise podcast episode coming very soon, so stay tuned for that. And Universal Orlando, et cetera, et cetera. So very excited about to add more content. You guys ask for it all the time. And these are all things that I do all the time. In particular, I do Disneyland. I've done Universal Orlando many times, and I just got back from a cruise. And so, you know, we have the information to do it. We just need to do it to provide you with the information that you guys have been asking for. So that will be coming this year, in addition to a new look on the website. So lots of things to look forward to. I'm very excited about that. I think that is enough to look forward to for now. If anything else pops up, I will be sure to mention it. So let's dive into the discussion about what's coming to Disney World. And you can hear me and Josh and Sarah in a recent discussion that we had. And I'll be back afterwards to wrap things up. Welcome to the podcast, Josh and Sarah.
Hey, hey.
Hello. Hi. So usually when I have guests on the podcast, I don't know them, and so I need them to introduce themselves to me. I happen to know you, but could you all tell a little bit about yourself so that the listeners can learn more about you? Josh, you first.
Hi, my name is Josh. I'm an agent with Perfect Story Travel. Yeah, I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I've been going to Disney since I was very small. I grew up in Florida, so moved up here to Tennessee, but still go down fairly regularly. Got married a few years ago and got my wife into the habit too, so we go down there pretty often.
Yes, and you are one of the inaugural team of people that started the agency.
Yes.
So both of you are. So now you've been on board for what, a little over a year now?
Crazy. It's already been that long.
And it feels like 10 years some days, and sometimes It feels like 10 weeks. And Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name's Sarah. Again, I am a travel agent with Perfect Story Travel, one of the originals.
Yes.
I live in Ohio. I'm married. We have a 14-year-old son. I visited Disney frequently as a child and then took a long break until we had a child of our own. And we are frequent travelers now and a Disney-loving family.
That's right. Aren't we all? That's how we all get into these jobs, I think. We love it, and then we try to get paid for doing it.
Nothing better.
That's right. So I wanted to have you guys on today because I often do these, like, what's coming next year podcasts, and I thought it'd be more fun if we did it together so we could talk about it because we have a lot to look forward to. So let's start with Magic Kingdom, which actually might be the lowest number of things coming. In the past, it's had a long list, but for now, it's not quite as long as some of the other parks. So, Sarah, let's start with you. What are you looking forward to that's coming in the next 1 to 3 years to Magic Kingdom?
I am looking forward to the Tron Light Cycle Power Run coaster that's currently under construction. I think that is going to be a very exciting ride and a thrill ride that Magic Kingdom definitely can benefit from. It's definitely going to change the landscape and the sight lines of Magic Kingdom, but I think it fits well where they're putting it in by Space Mountain. So super excited for that Tron Light Cycle.
Yeah, I think we are so lucky too to have it and Space Mountain because it's usually one or the other, and now we're going to get to have both. So that is going to be fun. Josh, how about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the main thing that's really exciting that's coming in the next few years. They're also over at Magic Kingdom, I believe, at the beginning of next year, is a Move It, Shake It, Mouse Dance It Street Party, I believe it's called. And so it's a new iteration of celebrating Mickey's 90th birthday. So for anybody that's excited about that, Move It, Shake It. That's enjoy that in the past or maybe hasn't seen it. It's a fun parade to street party to come across there kind of towards Main Street in the main hub area. So yeah, that's coming in January as well.
I think to go along with that, because like you said, it's the birthday celebration, they're going to have some like new character meet and greets and different things like that at Magic Kingdom to go along with it. So something that hasn't been announced that my fingers are crossed for at Magic Kingdom is that there will be a nighttime parade that comes back.
Yeah.
Please.
It's missing. It's been missing for a while. It needs it.
Yeah, I find myself during like the Halloween party and Christmas party being like, I have to see the parade. This is my only chance to see a parade at night. Surely they will, right? Surely.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much I missed nighttime parades until we were in Disneyland and we were watching the parade there. And I was like, why don't they have one of these now?
Yeah, I was with you when your first time seeing Paint the Night Parade.
Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah, well, I gave up hope on hoping that one was going to come to Magic Kingdom. But something along those lines, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, let's skip over to Epcot. And Sarah, what are you most excited about that's coming to Epcot?
Kind of out of the blue, unexpectedly, Disney came along and announced that they are adding a Beauty and the Beast sing-along, which is anticipated for early 2019. I think this is going to be a dark horse winner. It's something that's not on a lot of people's radar. But if it's anything like that Frozen sing-along, as you know, kind of went through that same transition where it was announced and people were like, I'm not sure about this. And it has proven to be an absolute hit. So if the Beauty and the Beast sing-along can live up to that expectation that Frozen sing-along has laid out, I think that is going to be a huge hit.
The thing that makes me think that as well is that it's the same person that was, let's see, a director? Is it the director or the producer of the movie Beauty and the Beast is doing the sing-along or something? Yeah, something like that. So I feel like they're taking it very seriously, which is exciting.
I'm curious what direction they're going to take it in, because with Frozen, it's definitely like a comedy. Like, it's supposed to be fun and light and almost over the top. But with, I'm not sure how that would translate with Beauty and the Beast. So I'm curious, like, what the tone of it is going to be. I'm excited about it.
We're all going to dance in a ballroom.
Well, and then what does it mean for the Beauty and the Beast live on stage at Hollywood Studios future? I wonder if that is... on anyone's mind or being considered as a way to reutilize that space for something different. Maybe this is going to get people that Beauty and the Beast feel that they need. And I wonder if it will have an impact.
I think people are also wondering if it impacts Impressions to France, because that's a stage, you know, that's a theater. So is that where it's going to be? We don't know yet. So hopefully we'll, it's early 2019. So we don't have that much time to wait.
So they haven't said where it's going to be or anything yet?
I don't think so.
Where else would it be?
I don't know. In the outside?
The little courtyard?
Yeah. I have no idea. But we are going to find out soon. So, Josh, what are you looking forward to at Epcot?
So many things. I mean, Epcot's definitely one of the parks that needed... that needed the most like new stuff to get people excited. I think Magic Kingdom doesn't have that much that's been announced just because it's still such like a go-to place for most people, but Epcot has so much coming. I mean, I'm really excited for that Guardians of the Galaxy coaster. The ride system looks like it's going to be a lot like the Harry Potter ride over at Universal, which is amazing. So that's probably the thing that's the furthest out, but that's definitely the thing I'm most excited about. And it's also really easy to keep in mind just because of the construction that's kind of front and center and will be for the next few years.
Yeah, it's hard to miss. They said that there 4 spaceship Earths will fit into that building. And even when I'm standing there looking at the 2, I can't picture it.
Yeah.
But
when you're in the back of like in the France pavilion, the perspective is really strange. And now they've put up the panels that kind of match the skyline, and it makes it even more trippy. It's very strange.
It is super strange, but it'll be exciting. I think for people that are tired of rides that are just screen-based, that they'll be excited because this is a real coaster, not a screen, you know, type of thing. I will say I'm going to combine 2 things, the Flower and Garden Festival and Festival of the Arts. I'm combining them because what's new about them is that they're going to have daily performances instead of just having performances on the weekends. And the reason this is super important to me is that I don't really care about the food booths at all these festivals, because the idea of waiting in lines over and over and over again and then having to like stand on a trash can and eat, you know, an egg roll or whatever is not appealing to me. But I do love the entertainment. So the fact that the Broadway performers and the musical acts for Flower and Garden will be there every day is super exciting. Instead of the weekends being busier, it'll be more spread out throughout. So I am excited. And those 2 are really fun. They make the park really pretty. So that makes it better to me. We have a few more things coming to Epcot. Would you like to pick something else that you're excited about, Sarah?
Sure. So we are definitely going to experience a period of transition from Illuminations into a more permanent show. But what is very exciting to me and sounds very appealing is the interim show that is going to be taking the place of Illuminations, and it's called Epcot Forever. And what really has sparked my interest about this is that they've described it as a show that will feature classic Epcot tunes. And as a person who has a lot of nostalgia and memories with Disney, I'm super excited to know exactly what that means and what they're going to incorporate. So I'm almost more excited about the interim show than the permanent show.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm just real curious to know what kind of feelings of nostalgia this will spark.
Yeah, I think that one is being created for the fans. Like, I think that is purposeful. Like, we are going to definitely build in the nostalgia, and we're not going to introduce the characters into the nighttime show yet. But it's something different than Illuminations. And also I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but at Disneyland for their anniversary, their fireworks were called Disneyland Forever, and they were the best thing I've ever seen in a Disney theme park. So I'm hoping that the word forever is going to be good luck, and that will end up with a really good Epcot show.
Well, and I think when Disney is at its best, it's when it can merge nostalgia with all of the IP. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, I'm excited to see what exactly they do with all of this. And Illuminations was overdue. Anyway, I'm sure there'll be people that highly disagree with me, but I think it had a good run.
Absolutely. It's been around a while. So I agree with you on that. Ready for something different. Josh, what else you got?
We got Remy's Ratatouille Adventure coming up. I think I'm really excited about that one. This is another sort of like Tron at one of the international rides that's getting brought to Orlando. And this one is probably a little less exciting than Tron, but it does look really cool. I've tried really hard not to watch too much video of the international attraction, just so I can kind of enjoy it with fresh eyes whenever it does come here. But this looks like it's going to be somewhat of like a dark ride with sort of screen based. You move from screen to screen. I think it's in 3D. So there, if you are walking through the international gateway entrance of Epcot, you'll see it over on the right across the water. It's being built in the back of the France Pavilion, and that's going to create. I mean, the France Pavilion is already the most filled up pavilion, but it's going to be even more so now. So I'm excited about that one. That one's coming, I believe, spring of 2020 is the story right now. So it looks like good progress is being made on it. Whenever we took the VIP tour, we actually and they took us backstage. We got to see the construction of it going on. They were putting up the frame. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not to brag, but we did take a VIP tour together.
That was awesome. That was one of my favorite parts.
So I had some friends go to Disneyland Paris, and when they got back, I said, I want a full recap, like the slideshow, the whole thing. And I said, what was your favorite thing? And they said it was the Ratatouille ride, and that was before it had been announced for Epcot. So what was announced for Epcot, I was like, oh, great. Now we get to do it without having to travel overseas if we can't. So I'm excited about that one, too. We have a few kind of random things that are also coming to Epcot. A restaurant in Japan. Japanese food is my favorite, so that sounds nice. Like good news to me. Then there's a space-themed restaurant that is being built between Mission Space and Test Track. And the films in Canada and China are being updated. So those are kind of like smaller things, but still some changes. Because those haven't been updated, I don't think, as long as I've been going. We are overdue for some fresh-looking film. Okay, so let's skip over to Hollywood Studios, where it has been in a constant state of change for years. Sarah, what are you looking forward to the most at Hollywood Studios?
Not for personal reasons, but for reasons for the clients that I help take care of, the Disney Junior Dance Party. It had a little hiatus, and people with little ones going to Hollywood Studios it has been a little bit of a struggle to put together a full day of things to occupy their little ones. And this will definitely help fill that gap that kind of was left during that sabbatical that it took. And it's coming back with updated characters, which is exciting, as well as a DJ. So those kids can get out of those strollers and burn off some much needed energy that they have stored up and give the parents a little break.
That's right. And that dance party exists at Disneyland, I believe, already. I think. So it's been popular there. So hopefully people will like it at Hollywood Studios. Josh, what's
sort
on your
of
list?
Yes, I mean, sort of along those same lines. I know we're burying the lead here with Star Wars.
Yes, I'm waiting for you to say it.
But no, to go along with what Sarah is saying, I've had clients asking, you know, where can I see the Incredibles characters at Disney World? So I'm really excited that they're bringing them to Hollywood Studios in January. Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible, and Frozone, a character meet with Edna. And scavenger hunt with Jack. So they're gonna have some Incredibles themed stuff over at Hollywood Studios, which will be nice. And the more stuff for little kids to do at Hollywood Studios in this kind of transition time, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always hard when the movies come out and then there's not anything to pay off. You know, like if you're excited about it because you just went to the movie and then you go to Disney World and there's not much to do related to that movie, it's a little bit frustrating. Okay, well, I'll just say it then. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is going to be amazing. It'll have two new attractions and it looks like it's going to be super immersive. It will open at Disneyland next summer, but it'll open, quote unquote, late fall in 2019, which might be December. We don't know. I will admit I am not the hugest Star Wars fan. Sci-fi is just not my thing. But everything related to Star Wars is so great to me. The music, even meeting the characters, the ride, Star Tours is so great. So I cannot wait to see what this is like in person. And the crowds are going to pour in as if they weren't already. So it'll be fun.
I've been, kind of just prepping clients and just saying like, you know, we don't know when it's going to open, but we do know that once it does open, all bets are off. We don't know what the crowds are going to be like. So if you're not interested in Star Wars, go before, because we don't know what the new normal is going to be once Star Wars opens. But for the people that are excited about Star Wars, I mean, it looks like they're going to deliver. Avatar isn't as popular a property, but they paid such great service to that franchise with Pandora, and they did such a great job with it. You know, me as somebody who isn't super into Avatar at all, I love that area. It's one of my favorites in all of Disney World. So I'm excited to see what they do with a property that I really do love. In Star Wars, I think it's going to be really exciting, and I hope it really does open in late fall of 2019. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it will. We know late fall before the end of the year. So that'll be really fun. I cannot wait to see that. What else, Sarah? What are you looking forward to besides the things we've already mentioned?
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That's a lot of R's and a lot of W's. I am very excited about this. And much like Shannon, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. So I'm kind of geeked out, probably more than I should be, about this Mickey and Minnie ride. I think it's long overdue to give this adorable couple a ride of their own and an attraction for people to enjoy. And I think that it's going to be put in the perfect place. That Chinese theater is beautiful. So good things to come with that. I'm very excited for the Runaway Railway.
Yeah, we need to go with the acronym, which I guess would be MMRR.
Sure. Mummer.
I always think Disney needs an office of acronyms, because sometimes they put out attractions that have unfortunate acronyms, and I think they need to be more careful about that.
Workshop them.
Alien swirling saucers. I'm looking at you.
Yes, but I think Murmur is going to take off. I think we just started something.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people are sort of sleeping on that one too, because it's been sandwiched in between Toy Story Land and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but I think it'll be a good addition to the park.
When they first announced that attraction, they showed that very short demo of it's kind of really hard to explain what it was without just seeing it, but basically it looked like it was like a room with panels that flipped and it made the entire room kind of shift. And I know they're going to use like digital projections technology for this. I like every time they talk about it, it's like they're hyping it up, but they're also kind of under hyping it, because I think they don't know how to explain what exactly it is people are going to see. Because I know that the idea is that you're actually going into the cartoon and they're actually going to have a portion of the ride. It sounds like where you actually like enter into the cartoon. So I'm really excited about it. I'm almost as excited about that as I am Star Wars. I hope that it delivers. It looks like it will.
Is that sarcasm or is that real?
No, that's real. I'm really excited, and I was a big fan of the great movie, right? So I was really disappointed at first, but once they announced what it was going to be, and I saw that demo video, I was like, "Whoa, this is going to be really cool."
Yeah, I can't wait for that one, and that's coming possibly summer or early fall next year, so before Star Wars opens. What else we got next year?
Oh, a Wonderful World of Animation.
Yeah, the nighttime show in May. And that is, a lot of people have been worried that Fantasmic's going somewhere, but I think it's going to be on the Chinese theater. So that'll be exciting. That's for the Hollywood Studios 30th anniversary. So it'll be an all new cinematic nighttime experience. I'm all about those nighttime shows. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to see that. I wonder if that means Movie Magic goes away and this one comes in, or if Star Wars Galactic Spectacular goes away or something like that. Or if it alternates between the two. I don't know. We have a couple of random things, I think, that we're still expecting for early next year. Some character meets with Mike and Sully. And we have Lightning McQueen Racing Academy and a Cruz Ramirez meet, which is exciting because California Adventure has kind of had the market on the car stuff. Mm-hmm. So now we'll have Lightning McQueen Racing Academy coming in early 2019 for all the Cars fans who can't make it to California Adventure. So I think that wraps up.
They haven't really said exactly. I know there's been lots of rumors about what this is going to be exactly, but they haven't officially said quite what this Racing Academy experience is going to be yet.
Mm-mm. Nope. But after seeing so many things at Cars Land, I think it's fun. It's unfortunate that it has to all be in just on the West Coast. We need a little bit of action on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So I think that wraps up Hollywood Studios. Animal Kingdom doesn't have a lot on the list for next year. Josh, would you like to talk about what is coming to Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, we've got some sort of Hakuna Matata. Trying to pull up the details because I honestly don't know too much about it, but we've got a Hakuna Matata Lion King sort of dance party with Timon and Rafiki and a special Lion King photo ops. That's coming in January of 2019.
Yeah, there's a lot of random things starting on January 18th, 2019. Yeah. For some reason, it's a happening date. So I'll be there for whatever it is. I'll be there to check it out. Okay, we do have a lot of stuff going on over at the resorts. So, Sarah, what is your thing that you're looking forward to the most on the resort side?
Resort side, Grandestino Tower is opening at Coronado Springs July of 2019. Booking is available for that now, which is great because we've gotten a peek at the pricing, and I feel like they've done a really good job with sticking with that moderate resort mm-hmm. price range for some really great accommodations. They look beautiful. And Coronado Springs is a pretty resort anyway, but not only are you getting this new tower with all these great, brand new rooms, there's suites that are available as well, which are always a plus, especially if you're traveling with a little bit of a bigger party. You need some room to spread out. And they're getting two restaurants as well, Three Bridges Bar and Grill, and then Toledo. One of them will have rooftop dining, which is going to be create some amazing views at night. So I think all around this is a huge plus for Coronado Springs and just gives an added reason to book a stay there where maybe it had been overlooked before.
Totally agree. Have either of you had clients that have been booked there yet?
I have not.
Not yet, but I have one on hold.
Good.
Nice. Fingers crossed nice. that they make the jump because I'm really excited to hear some feedback and check it out for myself.
Yeah, I'm going to book myself there to check it out. But I was curious if clients had been interested in it yet. But it hasn't been open that long for booking. Josh, what about you?
I'll tell you what. I'm really excited about this Cove Resort that's coming to the – it's going to be the next Swan and Dolphin area resort. I just really love Swan and Dolphin. I think that those are resorts that people kind of sleep on because just that access to both Epcot and Hollywood Studios, either by foot or by boat, is really nice. And it's just kind of backed away, sort of tucked in the corner there. I just really love that resort if you want something a little different than Boardwalk or Beach Club or Yacht Club. I love Swan and Dolphin, and the Cove will be a nice little addition over there as well.
Indeed. Great spot. Can't beat that location. Mm-hmm. All right. The non-Star Wars fan is going to say the Star Wars thing again. I'm looking forward to the Star Wars themed boutique resort, especially because it's going to be so different from everything else based on what we know, because it's going to be super small super expensive. I wonder if people will even be able to visit it. Like, it sounds to me like maybe the only people that will be allowed there will be the ones staying there, because they want to provide an exclusive experience. And I think it'll just be more immersive than anything else has ever been. We don't know when it's going to be done, but it'll be a few years off at least. But I'm excited to try it. Might be able to only afford one night, but
well, I think it's going to be like in blocks where you have like you have to stay like a 2 or 3 night stay, because it's going to be like a full story that you're experiencing while you're there. So
yeah,
I'm really intrigued by it. I'm excited.
It may actually have a maximum of 2 or 3 nights from some of the things that we've heard too. So I don't know, very different than anything else at Disney World, and I'm sure it'll be sold out most of the time. So that'll be a good one. We have a couple more resort things that are in the works. Sarah, what's next on your mind?
2022, which is feels like a long way off, but we know how time flies. Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge. This, what they have shown for concept art, it looks absolutely stunning. It kind of reminds me of an updated Wilderness Lodge type feel. Like, it still feels like it has that very, you know, lots of wood, and it's in a wooded area, and it's going to have prime location to Magic Kingdom. I assume, based on what we've seen, that it will have boat access, which always is a huge plus. So I feel like they've done a good job with the concept, the location. It's just going to be beautiful. So very excited for Reflections. The name is a little different, I have to say. I was surprised at that name choice, but I think it has to do with the lake reflection and all that good stuff. So we'll see.
It's RADLL. Get used to that acronym. Rattle.
Rattle.
Rattle. Yes, that one looks like it's going to be really pretty. Yeah, and really different from everything else again. So I think they're trying to be really unique with some of these new ones. What about you, Josh? Anything else?
We got Riviera Resort coming before too much longer. This is going to be a new DVC, Disney Vacation Club resort, located near the Caribbean Beach Resort. But the thing I'm really excited about with this one is that it's going to have Skyliner gondola access, which is going to be really great. You'll also be able to get views of the nighttime spectaculars at the parks from the roof. So I'm excited about that as well. It's going to be a good one.
Yes. And I'm just going to go ahead and add the Disney Skyliner whole system to my list of things I'm looking forward to for next year, because it's going to totally change the skyline, over parts of Disney World. And it's going to be fun to see. And that should be open next fall. That'll be exciting. I know there's been a lot of speculation about, oh, it doesn't have air conditioning, it doesn't have this, but, you know, we'll see how it goes once it's open. I'm sure Disney's thought about that. So hopefully it'll be comfortable.
You only be in them for like 3 minutes at a time anyway, I think, just based on how fast they're going to move. Everything there is a lot closer. If you're going directly straight from one thing to another, like, everything is very close together. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be hot, and if it ever gets stuck or whatever, I think that's the main concern. But overall, I don't think it should be too much of a problem.
I hope so. Hope you're right. I think the last spot that we haven't talked about yet is Disney Springs. So there's been so many new things opening in Disney Springs. It's really converted from a place that you don't really need to go to a place that you might want to incorporate into your trips now. So Sarah, what are you looking forward to at Disney Springs?
As the mom of a 14-year-old boy, I am an NBA fan by default, not by choice, but here I find myself knowing way too much about NBA basketball. So as a family, we are looking forward to the NBA experience. I think my son is just going to totally geek out at that place. He will be in teenage boy heaven. So looking forward to that, and curious about what all that's going to entail.
Yes, absolutely. Josh, what about you?
They got a new Cirque du Soleil show opening at some point down there. And there's been a job listing that provided maybe a hint that the new show was going to be Disney themed, because they closed the old Cirque du Soleil show, I believe, at the end of last year, was it? It's been a while now. So this new show will be opening before too much longer. Let's see, 2020, I guess. And yeah, it might be Disney themed, but for anybody, any Cirque du Soleil fans, you can have a new show at Disney Springs to go check out.
I'm embarrassed to say I never saw the previous one.
I didn't either.
Even as a fan, I've seen many Cirque du Soleil shows, and it was right there the whole time. So this time, mm-hmm. I'm going to get there as soon as it opens. Don't want to let time get away again and miss it. Yeah. But I heard great things about the old one. I'm sure the new one will be fantastic. I think we got through our list. There's so many things to look forward to. And we have anniversary, park anniversaries coming up, and that keeps increasing things. So it's a good time to be a Disney Parks fan and an agent and anybody yes. in this niche. So before you wrap it up, could you please let people know how they can contact you? Because you are great agents who have very happy clients. Sarah, how will people get in contact with you?
You can reach me by email at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at PerfectStoryTravel.com. You can find me on Facebook at Perfect Story Travel by Sarah Goff, G-O-F as in Frank, F as in Frank. And you can find me on Instagram at Perf Story Travel Sarah.
And I'll include all that information in the show notes, so if anybody would like to contact her. And Josh, how about you?
The easiest way to get in touch if you're thinking about planning a trip, just go to perfectstorytravel.com/Josh. Or if you want to just email me directly, josh@perfectstorytravel.com. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I post lots of Disney pictures. Like I said, we're down there pretty often. So at Dear Future Josh is my Instagram handle.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Uh-huh.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and have a better idea of what's coming to Disney World this year and the next few years. I did want to give you a quick tip before we wrap it up. This one was sent in by Sue, and she said, "We are a family of iPhones, and our children and their girlfriends and boyfriends often travel with us. When they do, I create a shared album on my iPhone, and I invite them all to it. That way, we can all dump our trip photos into the shared folder, and we can see each other's and download if we want." So that is super helpful, Sue, and something that I often forget. I've only remembered to do it on a trip or two here or there, so that's a good reminder. So I think that will wrap up this episode. For more information, please check your podcast app for the show notes, or you can go to the website, www.prepschool.com, click podcast at the top, and look for episode 200. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.